You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and today I'm going to be chatting with Tyler Horsley, who is joining me from the great and somewhat high state of Colorado. Actually, I don't imagine the entire state is high. I just know certain areas are. And before we bring him into the conversation, I want to share a definition of marketing that we have in the world I live in, because very often we're talking about marketing in terms of tactical activities that we engage in, things like search engine optimization or running ads on Facebook, or if you are still aware of the existence of this tactic, direct mail. Yes, it still exists and it's incredibly powerful for the right folks. In any event, what we don't think about in terms of marketing is its importance in the broader sense of why it exists in the first place and why our businesses exist in the first place, which is generating revenue in exchange for the services or products or whatever it is that we happen to be selling. Well, Tyler is a person who has thought a lot about this, well beyond the simple systems of hire me to drive traffic to your website. And we're going to get into that, and we're also going to get into the idea of ways to bring revenue into the hands, the pockets, the bank accounts of business owners, well beyond just selling the things that your business is set up to sell. So to join me for that conversation, I want to welcome Tyler Horsley.
Thank you for the welcome. Looking forward to it.
Indeed. So, okay, I often tend to ramble at the opening of these conversations, but I hope that there was something in what I just said that you were able to decipher that I think will get us into a meaningful conversation for our listeners about really how to think about marketing and how to think about what role it plays in generating revenue and other revenue generation opportunities as well.
Yeah. I think a good background and context, because there's always the solution for what works now. And this organization and this entire industry is always evolving, especially with AI and more, which we get to chat about later too. Previous context is learning the hard way. So that's where a lot of this education comes from. Hopefully I can spare, you know, both business owners, agency owners, service providers, and more from some of these things. The organization that I'm with right now, Nuclear Networking, used to just sell traffic. I mean, that's really what it is. It's traffic driving services, paid ads, PPC, SEM, SEO, all the acronyms that everybody's heard of in the past. And collectively, over the last several amount of years, we focused primarily on operational efficiencies and automation. But exactly in your intro, you know, a lot of business owners are trained. That's what you need to succeed. And you already mentioned this as well. It may not be the only thing. Like, there are other traditional forms of marketing that pair really well. When you look at marketing from an ecosystem standpoint, it is the collective and manicuring and a lot of different touch points that really creates the most effective marketing approach. And just by siloing and only focusing on just traffic or just SEO or just SEM, we're automatically putting ourselves in a box, putting ourselves at a disadvantage compared to a lot of the other competitors, some of which might be looking at the whole ecosystem. And so before even talking about traffic and these things, one of the biggest things that I've learned over the last several years is, and I'm going to shamelessly rip off Simon Sinek, but starting with the why. And one of the best questions I can ask, just to give context to that for both agency owners and service providers, any business owner, is, if you finally had the dream opportunity, you're in a crowd of 50,000 people and I put you on stage, call it South by Southwest or whatever your dream speech is. If I gave you 10 seconds to tell me why you're better than the competitors you're standing beside, what would you say? If we can't thoroughly answer that question, and I know everybody's heard of the elevator pitch, and I know the first place that minds go, because I've done interviews on this, is, well, we've been in business for 25 years. You know, this is family owned and operated, and we have a, we're with the Better Business Bureau, we're triple A's, blah, 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 blah. Everyone else and their dog has these things. Are they important to you? Totally. Are those hard to achieve? Yes, they are. They're really hard to achieve. It doesn't differentiate you enough to the extent that you're gonna stop someone in this culture. They're gonna slam on the brakes and decide to meet you. Doesn't even mean work with you yet. So a couple components. Thinking about the why those are the questions that I have to answer for myself before I fund and start or sell a business. And those are the questions that we help clients and partners answer, because you can blow a lot of money on SEO and paid ads and all these things, whether you do them yourself or not. And from a broken heart syndrome, you're going to blame your marketing company. Why doesn't this work? The marketing company burned me. And you can tell I have a couple scars from that. But it's because you both parties, the marketing company and yourself, there's a major missing piece that nobody addressed. And that's one of the first pieces.
Yeah, as you were talking about this, you reminded me back when I was running an agency, and I had a prospective client who, after you'll hear what I said to her, never became a client. And I think it'll be apparent why. And I don't remember the particular industry she was in. It was some sort of form of medical, let's call it chiropractic just for the heck of it, although I'm certain it wasn't. And I asked her the question about, you know, what differentiates you? Why would people come to you? And her answer was, well, I graduated top of my class at such and such university. I said, oh, that is awesome. Hey, by the way, tell me how many people are looking online, typing in, chiropractor who graduated at the top of her class, 30 years, you know, in the business. And she looked at me like, what do you mean? Nobody is. I said, exactly.
Yeah. Right?
This is, I think, a challenge that a lot of business owners, but even as I've worked with lots of marketers, they don't recognize the difference as well. And I think, you know, something that as I was going through the nuclear networking, and I need to ask you about that name, website, it's something that you address head on, is, you know, you're automatically positioning yourselves against other marketing service providers, saying, hey, we think about these things, put us up against the others that you've worked with, right? And you'll see that there's a difference. Yep. And so it's a very clear positioning statement.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is. And statistically, just from a marketing targeting perspective, our audience are typically folks who are willing to invest in their own growth through marketing channels. And statistically, most of those people have already worked with other companies, and they've been told the same stories and this, that, and the other. And just related to the marketing comment that you made on, a lot of marketers don't get this, to give everyone grace, including those who would call themselves marketers, I think broadly calling ourselves marketers is the first problem. If you're a phenomenal technical SEO, you can do site speed analysis, you use Ahrefs, SEMrush, Moz, whatever you're into, you can build backlinks, you can do keyword density and compliance. Great job. That's an SEO specialty. You're specialized in a specific niche. You're not a marketer. You do this really well. If you're a paid ads person and you know how to create these campaigns and set up tracking and go high level or whatever you're working on, great job. But the problem with this is there is no regulation in this space. There is no certification that says, I actually passed all the, sure, Google has their, you can cheat. Like you just can't. So it's like, enough people have come out and said, I know how to do these specific marketing activities. They position themselves as marketing experts in agencies, and then they burn relationships unintentionally. They probably did really great on your SEO, but are you actually measuring them based on your site speed or keyword density? No, you're measuring them on the leads. You actually just wanted revenue the whole time. And that's kind of where the disconnect was. And you'd have to correct me on this, but if a fish thinks it's a bird its entire life, it's going to grow up essentially thinking it's a failure, right? And that's hyper summarized from one of the greats. But that's kind of the same thing. So it's like just understanding and being real about what do you know well and what don't you know? And that's for business owners too. If you're trying to do a specialist's job, instead of growing your company, you're working on marketing to save a couple bucks. It's like, at least pause, get some other viewpoints, even from trusted colleagues, and try to try to work with specialists in that specific area where you're lacking.
There's so many different directions we can go with with what you just shared there, and I think, you know, in our business, I've coined the phrase, or I believe I've coined the phrase, I just haven't found it anywhere else, the marketing industrial complex, which is basically that we have conned ourselves into thinking, you know, that we all know marketing, that marketing operates a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the big challenges with the marketing industry as it exists is that most of marketing is bought and sold based around a specific tactic, like some of the examples you were just given. Right. And there is no central hub, I forget the phrase you used, to sort of say, well, this is where all the marketing information is that's going to help guide you to where's the right channel, what's the right set of tactics to address your particular situation and the outcome that you're after. And so I think that's a very keen observation that both marketers need to be self-aware and business owners really need to be aware of what they're getting into when they're entering into a relationship with a marketing service provider.
Right. Yeah, you nailed it. And to give credit to business owners, they're going to conferences, they're listening to podcasts like this one, and they're doing anything they can to learn. And some of that's like me trying to become an attorney. It's not going to happen right now easily. People have spent years and years and years and years of their life like specializing. So, but knowing enough to be dangerous, a good marketing partner should be able to present digestible data and digestible positioning in a way that you understand the why. You don't need to know how to do massive amounts of intent-driven keyword research or know what natural language processing is. But if you understand, look, data says 14,000 people a month are in your area looking for exactly what you sell. These are the people showing up. This is the work they've done to get there. And here's where we're at. If we want to get there, we just need to do this work. And it's very measurable. And if a company can't communicate that, there might be a knowledge base gap. And that doesn't mean that they're not good to work with. But to your point, they're specialized in one tactic and they just can't explain the rest. And just taking a jab at ourselves, us marketers, we don't want to admit that. We don't want you to go work with somebody else. We want to work with you. And so people make the mistake of taking on more than they do. We've done this in the past. And it's like, it's not good for anybody, right? And so There are data points and data sets that really can drive those decisions. It's not a guessing game anymore like it used to be. And I think where this industry is going is eventually you're just going to pay for strategists, high-level thinkers to kind of map all this out, because some of this busy work is automatable. So,
And Tyler, you don't know, but that happens to be the business that I'm in. So there you go. thank you for the plug. Let's talk a little bit about, so somebody arrives on your site. You spoke a moment ago about how you have really dialed in who it is that to whom you're speaking. I was about to, use incorrect grammar there. And then, you know, I heard my grandmother in my head saying, no, David. And so you have the messaging really clear. As soon as you arrive on the site, somebody knows I'm in the right place, or this is way over my head and I'm going to bounce. But the traffic that you're bringing to the site is overwhelmingly the former, not the latter.
Right.
And then you have real clear instructions on, all right, now that you know you're in the right place, here's what to do next. Can you walk us through sort of how that gets built and why it's built this way?
Yep. And just the caveat for vulnerability, thanks for all the credit. We need to redo our website. You're going to have people going and looking there like, really? This is here. Here's the concepts that we live by, though. And it is the cobbler's kids syndrome, right? So it's one of those. It's we always serve others before serving ourselves. So however, one of the simplest questions, and I like to really break these down and into no duh moments, as you might call them, but it's like if a five-year-old or your grandmother can't understand what you do and what they need to do next in less than 10 seconds on your website, you're doing it wrong. And that hurts some of us, because the old web design way was, here's a dropdown of 400 services. You should know what you need. It's like, are you spending most of your time bragging about the services you provide instead of speaking to the pain point you're going to solve. And if you can speak to the pain point, they don't need to know your services yet. You just met. It's like dating. It's like, get to know each other first, right? So don't, I think what we've done, and this is just me, just genuinely gestalt or experience here, trying to get somebody to transact right out of the gate isn't the best way all the time. They get hit with 16,000 advertisements plus a day telling them what to do and what to buy. People would become numb to that. But instead of, hey, I'm a veterinary clinic, here's the surgeries we do in the X, Y, and Z, it's, hey, we love your dog more than you do. And we're going to pet your dog and give it snacks and put it on a memory foam bed until you come back. That had nothing to do with their services, but dog lovers, real ones, oh man, they're like, you, oh my gosh, you get it. You get my dog. I'd love to meet you. And then you follow up. So that's how our site is designed. It's designed to speak to that specific audience. There's a couple of value points underneath. Easy, clear, digestible, next step. Here's handholding. If this is you, click here and do this, and we'll introduce ourselves. And there's no obligation to buy. We're not even trying to sell you anything. It's just education and value, right?
It to a certain extent, as I'm looking at the site, it echoes some of the principles that you see in, I'm trying to remember what it's called, StoryBrand, which is very simple, straight to the point in terms of, you know, sort of here's who you are, here's who we are, here are the things that we can do for you, here's what to do next.
Yes, yes. Look at your psychographics of anybody listening to this right now, even mine. And it doesn't... you would think somebody looking for a plumber, our water heater just went out, so this is fresh on my mind. Somebody looking for that, it's going to have a different search style. It's, I need this now. Like I'm going to go to Google. I might even click on ads. I have different search behaviors myself because I work in the space, but like if somebody else is a longer term, if I'm going to go buy a Ferrari or a $50,000 pontoon boat, I'm shopping around. That's a big purchase. So my behaviors are different, but knowing your audience right out of the gate and how to speak to them, still that simplicity is better because you might think, well, a C-level, if I'm selling B2B products, I have to cater to other CEOs and they're going to want to know all the complexities. I would argue they're really busy, and the fact that you even got them to look at your ad to begin with, if they can't understand the value quickly, you're gone. So I think that keep it simple, stupid, the kiss, I think it's important. It's still important. And it better serves and caters to the audience in the future of where we're going of quick information, ADHD culture, me too. It just tends to work for most businesses.
You mentioned the sort of the difference between an immediate need where right. the buyer is likely to want to pounce right then and there. Right. Was it a Ferrari? I think you mentioned. Several years ago, we worked on a project for personal custom submarines for mega yachts. It was a website for one of the three manufacturers of those things. And understanding the entire buying process, who's making the decision? By the way, it's not the owner of the mega yacht who's deciding, right? It's somebody who works for them or is engaged by them for this project. And what the decision criteria is, and then how to speak to them, right? This is something that most businesses know the answers to, but it's not necessarily reflected in how they're presenting themselves on their website or elsewhere in their marketing materials, I imagine.
That's right. So just a little sneak peek, and this is fun. Maybe this will help some agency owners out there. And I'd be curious too, just given your area of expertise and the non-biased plug, genuinely, because I didn't know. but it's like, we do interviews. So we do entire workshops, because to your point, and this is true about our site, the passion and the knowledge that I can relay over this podcast, all of it is not on the site, nor can it be distilled to the extent that somebody could get all of that so quickly. So a lot of founders, same thing. If you're selling submarines for yachts, it's like, if I can record you talking about that for 2 to 4 hours through a guided process of X, Y, and Z, it's like, now all of a sudden I'm getting all this passion and all these data points and this campaign headlines is basically what they become to really speak to the end user. And that makes a lot of sense. Also really cool. Now I'm interested, like, wow, that thing that exists. I'm not in that category yet, apparently. So
yeah, we'll talk about that after we record, but yes, it really exists, and it's a fascinating world. And I had the opportunity to interview a lot of people who were involved in that, particularly people who drove those things undersea, which is kind of cool.
It's cool.
So I want to tie back to where I sort of started this, which is all of these activities that we're engaging in have to be connected to some outcome, some result. And in business, that's usually revenue. Yeah. And so I want to talk about revenue in sort of the sense of these activities lead to and need to be measured against the revenue that we're bringing in as a result of them. Mm-hmm. But you have in your own business, right? So you mentioned nuclear networking, and I want to ask you about the name before we actually talk about this question I'm about to raise here. But you built that. You then sold it, and you sold it to a group that happens to include yourself, right? So you're still involved in the company, and there's revenue and transaction and stuff happening all along the way. And now you're applying a lot of the knowledge that you've amassed over your professional history to other businesses that you're investing in, likely improving, and then, you know, finding a future home for, or helping, you know, sort of move on to the next step of whatever that organization ought to be. Right. So I want to get to the revenue piece, but before we do, right? So this is what we call an open loop for those of you who are interested in the copywriting aspect of marketing. I want to talk about the name nuclear networking, because I looked at that when it first showed up on my calendar, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a fascinating conversation about how we utilize networking events as marketing activities. And then I jumped onto your website and I thought, I don't understand. How does, this is networking in a very different sense.
Right.
What is it? So Tyler, please explain.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So in short, and again, ripping off others, but they're those who say things well, they don't need to be, you know, don't fix it if it's not broken. So, you know, network defines net worth. We've heard that there's power in proximity. And so because including marketing, and specifically marketing, where a lot of people live in a transactional world, everything is and starts with relationship. Networking is key on all of that stuff. And I'm not talking about joining BNI or EO or YPO or all these groups, but understanding the why, the person, the need, and solving those problems, and then sharing that value with others. Mercedes, their number one sales force is their customer base. Mm-hmm. And they've designed their entire marketing and their car for that. And if you can get people to fall in love with your brand to the extent that they are your biggest cheerleaders, and that's only done through quality experience and relationship, you will exponentially grow and drop your cost per acquisition. So that's kind of the basis. And then certainly nuclear is the most powerful thing I could possibly think of. I worked with a futurist on that name, Tom Fry. He happens to be like one of the top five in the world, which I didn't know at the time. family friend. So I got lucky there, but so that's kind of the origins of the name and the purpose behind that.
Okay. And you bring up the Mercedes thing, and now, you know, we could go down a rabbit hole of community being the new path to effective marketing as well. The author and strategic thinker on marketing, a guy named Mark Schaefer, recently wrote a book on this particular topic. But again, open loop, I digress, and we're not going to complete that loop on this episode. Instead, let's talk about the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which is the expansive range of revenue that comes as a result of all of this marketing work that we're doing.
Yeah. So if I expand too much, feel free to rope me back in. But one of my biggest passions here, and the entire reason for the transaction, which I actually, after working, I worked in M&A for 2.5 years by happenstance for small service owners out there, small businesses. If you ever look at selling, and I was told once, you will exit your business. It's going to happen. Well, I don't want to sell. You'll either sell it, you'll get hit by a truck. That something at some point in time, you will not be, you will exit. So it's good. And it's a little dark humor, but it's like, it's true. It's good to at least understand the mechanisms and the levers in which, or by which the market evaluates you. What are you worth? It's not just what you're taking home in your mailbox money and more. And so I started learning about all these things. And very quickly, when I put my company up for sale, because we're a service industry, service industries primarily rely on people quite a bit. They're different than SaaS and AI. And then I learned the devastating news that service industries sell at like 1/5 the multiplier of an automation company or SaaS. And if you're not big enough, over 10 million or whatever that's defined in your category, people just don't even pay attention to you. You're too risky, this, that, and the other. So I'm like, I need to grow and at a rapid rate. And that's a marketer saying, hey, I need to grow more revenue at a more rapid rate. And the way that I did that was through acquisition. And so this is kind of like the thing that really sparked in me. I facilitated my own exit through Nuclear. We closed in 30 days, which is ridiculous. If anybody's done due diligence out there, it was hell week. But that really kind of helped me connect the link and my vision in this space for not just a specialist around tactics. Hey, I can do SEO or this, that, the other, but really the bigger picture of, yes, we're growing revenue and we should be growing revenue through marketing, but what is the true material impact on the backside of how that impacts our company value to a greater market? And so would you like me to go further on?
Oh, this is fascinating. And I think, for our listeners, it likely could apply to many of the professional service providers,
right,
who think about this as, well, I have a book of business. I'm for the financial advisors, for example, I got assets under management. And when I want to retire, I'll just sell the book of business to another advisor. Right. There's ways to think about this that are quite different from the way that many of us do.
Yeah, absolutely. There are tons of vehicles, and these are the biggest things that I would want to know. You don't need to be a transaction or business broker professional to get these types of things. But something that nobody ever told me, like in this deal world, in this value creation world, almost anything that you can think rationally as possible might be. So if you have such a small company, to the extent that if you take your adjusted net EBITDA, I won't get into all this stuff as much, but like you take your adjusted net profit and you multiply that, you find out you're in service and you can only get 3 to 6 times your net. It's like, okay, well, man, maybe that's not enough money to make it exciting. And by the way, for those of you like me in service, there's very rarely the opportunity that you're going to sell your service company and not be required to stay on and work for X amount of time because it relies so much on your knowledge base, which is, try to get that out of your head and on a process before you go for sale, by the way. But plus you're the sauce. I mean, like you are the person likely that they're buying the visionary and more, and it could be a really great relationship, but just kind of being prepared for that. There are other ways of doing that, and ways that I kind of discovered right out of the gate. Cashless mergers were really interesting to me. If I don't want to go into debt and I don't want to buy and raise $10 million to buy 2 more marketing companies, what I can do is create more stock value. Meaning, if I have 5 potatoes and I own 100% of those potatoes and somebody else has 5 potatoes, we can put our potatoes together. I only own 50% of 10 potatoes now, but it's still the same amount that I owned before. I'm using these ridiculous examples, but
well, it's so accessible for people like me who don't really understand the gobbledygook, highly technical financial stuff that you're talking about.
And all the potato lovers out there love it, so that's good. But yeah, so I mean, that's essentially what we've done. And so even though it appears on paper as though I've diluted myself, it's like, no, I didn't. I still have 100% of exactly what I came to the table with. But now we hit that big revenue mark, and now all of a sudden people think that we're sexy and we're worth buying because we're big enough. And so that was a way that I kind of accelerated positioning myself and getting myself to the next stage where I wanted to be, which is where I am now, working at a broader scale on a transaction level. Literally, our model at our private equity firm is a company factory. Like, mm-hmm. We create companies. We either buy, acquire existing companies, operational efficiencies. We have some of the best EVPs of marketing operations, people in ops from Amazon. One of our marketers has taken a company, 3 companies through IPO in Silicon Valley. And so you get to work with just mercenary rock stars. And my knowledge base, certainly in the marketing and revenue growth in the M&A space, like that's where I like to play, but all of these things are so important, right? If the whole company just relies on you, if you can't work for a year tomorrow, is your company going to stay up? Is it going to be okay? And if the answer is no, there's work to be done there, right? And there's certainly growing revenue, which is helpful because that pays payroll, but having somebody be able to kind of architect that out. Are you familiar with EOS, by the way?
Yeah, David? Of course.
Mm-hmm. Cool, great. Yeah, so I mean, that was one of my first glimpses, like, hey, I need to actually think about what is an accountability chart? Because all of the owners out there will say amen to this, but you're probably doing five jobs, just so you know. And you know, maybe there's five seats that you need to create separately in your company and fill those. And so all these things play a role. Growing revenue, not just the revenue that you have today, but showing a trajectory, meaning if I'm going to sell my company in a year, I need to start growing now. It's worthwhile for me to reinvest back into marketing over and over. So at the end of the year, especially if you're in service, the way that they evaluate you is it's called a trailing 12, which means they're going to look at how was your past year, not where do you think you're going in the future? Because everybody, we're all entrepreneurs. We have great ideas, but economies, pandemics, these things happen. So it's like, where have you been? Wherever you have been and whatever that growth trajectory is will tell the story and build trust in where do they think you can go moving forward. So that's one of the ways we've really leveraged ramping up marketing and doing this hyper specific to specific audience channels of hand holding. Here's exactly who we serve. Here's what you do next. We'd love to meet you, right?
I'm so glad that you went into this area of depth about sort of how revenue comes into a business in a very different way than most of us think about. Mm-hmm. And it I think is an extension of what I would love more business owners and more marketers to think about in terms of their role in how they're defining marketing and how they're applying it to the business in a larger sense, right? We spend a lot of time and energy and effort on creating systems around operations, creating systems around money management, but we don't necessarily have the systems around future revenue, which is, you know, the result of marketing and the result of, you know, creative thinking, like what you've just shared. And I think more business owners and certainly marketers ought to do so. So, hey, Tyler, we've just about run out of time, and I want to make sure that for folks who want to get even deeper on these topics, that they know where to find you and how to reach out.
Sure. Yeah, I'd say two spots. One, just for generally, where is Tyler? What is Tyler doing? LinkedIn is the best for that. It's not the best for communication. Probably like you, David, I get 150 inbox spam messages a day of people trying to sell me marketing, ironically. Yes. And so, but at least like posting, speaking, circuits, et cetera, free information. I just try to be a resource on that platform. From a personal standpoint, email me directly. Sure, nuclearnetworking.com. I mean, if you have a business, you're interested in certain things and or just discovery, that's fine. But from a relational standpoint, I am okay. I will make time. Tyler at Nuclear Networking, one of the benefits of being the founder. I don't have to have the dot, this, that, and the other. It's just my name, which probably is why it's spammers. It's so easy for them to get a hold of me. But email me directly. I'd love to learn about what you're doing, what your vision is. Are you running a service company? Do you run an agency yourself? Do you want to avoid like 35 speed bumps in the next year? Maybe I've already hit them, I can tell you. I just like meeting other entrepreneurs and bright minds and having these types of conversations.
Well, that's brilliant. I know I'll be hitting you up for some more insights and I hope some of our listeners do as well. So Tyler Horsley, thank you so very much for hanging out. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. Thanks for having me.
Folks, if you know somebody who can benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, and I'm pretty sure you do, please send them our way. In the meantime, my name is David Baer, and you have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.